the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you the next installment in our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. But before we get to that, I hope you'll take just a minute today to pick up the phone or your smartphone and contact a friend and invite them to tune in the program with you today. It will certainly be a blessing to you and to that friend that you invite. Well, we do have a long message today, so I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Green.
Now, gracious Heavenly Father, direct us as we open thy word to study today. Honor the word, the shed blood, the name of Jesus, and save the soul, our Father, that is nearest eternity without God. Reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, and we'll give God the praise in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. If you are listening to the Gospel Hour for the first time, or if you haven't listened for a long time, we are studying John's Gospel verse by verse. Today we begin chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Now that's Mary out of whom Jesus cast the demons, Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark. Now that was early in the morning, even before daybreak. It was yet dark. They came unto the sepulchre, and they seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, I've been to that sepulchre. In fact, most Bible authorities and most Bible scholars agree that the tomb near Calvary was the place where Jesus was buried, and the stone that covered the front of that cave was a tremendous stone, beloved. And any person that would use a little common sense would know that man could not roll that stone away. In other words, it was a miracle. It would have taken many men to roll the stone away. And don't forget now, don't forget that Pilate gave the Jews and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders the very best guard he had. They sealed it with a Roman seal, and they guarded the tomb with the best guard that Rome afforded, and yet the stone has been rolled away. Then she runneth, Mary Magdalene runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, of course, that was John, the beloved disciple. This John, in other words, he does not name himself here. The Holy Ghost inspired this book. And John pinned down the words the Holy Ghost gave him to pin down. So he refers to himself as that other disciple, or the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and say to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. Now John outran Peter, and he came to the sepulchre, and he stooped down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went not in. Now that's John the Beloved. He came to the sepulchre. He looked in, he saw the linen cloths, but he did not go inside. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You know, that's tremendous to me. Let me say this in passing, lest I forget to say it later. That is tremendous. Jesus, on that glorious resurrection morning, was not in a hurry. He wasn't in a hurry to get out of the tomb. What I mean by that, he took time to fold the napkin and wrap the napkin and the linen cloth together and put it in a place by itself. The linen, the cloth, it was lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but it was wrapped together in a place by itself. Jesus took time to neatly fold it and place it in a place alone. Now, I don't believe God is pleased with anything that's done haphazardly or half-heartedly, hit or miss. I believe God wants everything done decently and in order, and I believe God wants things done right. Amen. I believe that. And so Jesus was not in a big rush or hurry because he knew what was going on. Next verse, then went in also that other side. Now that's John the Beloved, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. They went to their own home. Now, I tell you what I want to do today. Now, we've spent many months, yes, months, studying this gospel verse by verse. Now, this is the salvation gospel. These chapters were written, all 21 of them, were written for the specific purpose that we might believe. Now, this is John 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. Now, we've studied 19 chapters verse by verse, and we have studied the shedding of the blood, Calvary, the terrible whippings, and all of the horrible things they did to Jesus and they said about Jesus. But now listen, beloved. The greatest victory of all the victories is described in this 20th chapter. Now, hear me well, hear me well. One of the outstanding things that the liberals and the modernists object to in fundamental doctrine and fundamental Christianity is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you'd be surprised at the thousands and the tens of thousands of church people who do not believe that Jesus rose again bodily, that he walked out of the tomb in a body of flesh and bones. No, I didn't say flesh and blood. I said flesh and bones. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but flesh and bones will. That's the kind of a body Jesus had when he returned to the Father's house and took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty. Now let me say this emphatically and clearly and without apology. It is a divine imperative that you believe in the resurrection or you can't go to heaven. Well, now you say, preacher, according to that, a person must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess his sins, be baptized in water, join the church, and then stand up and say, I believe in the resurrection. I didn't say that. Let me serve notice on you when you say from your heart, I believe on Jesus as my Savior. When you say that from the heart, when you say that with sincerity and in truth, you've said, I believe everything the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. If you don't believe all of it, you don't believe any of it. Listen, you can't believe in the virgin birth and not believe in the bodily resurrection. You can't believe that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins and not believe in the resurrection. I mean bodily resurrection. It wasn't spiritual, it was bodily. His body came out. When John, when Peter went in, when Mary Magdalene arrived and looked in, when Peter went in, and then when John went in, there was no body. Yes, the linen, yes, the napkin, yes, but no body. The body was gone. Now, I want you to turn with me today to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want us to see some things in connection with our study in the Gospel of John. I said it is a divine imperative that you believe in the body resurrection of Jesus Christ or you can't go to heaven. Now in 1 Corinthians 15:1, listen, I've read this 100 times on the radio. And I'll read it 100 more. Jesus tarries and I preach 32 more years, I'll read it another 100 times. I've been preaching 32 years, and if I preach another 32, I'll read this another 100 times. And I'll make no apology for reading it, because it needs to be read, reread, and read again. Now in 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I declare the gospel. Now, don't think I'm holier than thou. Don't think I'm bragging on Oliver Green. I'm not. I'm not. When I say what I'm about to say. Now, I prefaced what I'm going to say with that, and I mean it. I'm not holier than thou. There's nothing good about me but Jesus Christ that lives in me. All that I am because of Jesus inside of me in my heart. I am not a holier than thou. I am not self-righteous. I am not saying, look at me. I'm trying to direct folks to Jesus. But the only way to direct folks to Jesus is through the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And I was about to say this. There is very little gospel being preached today. Why, you say, Brother Green, we have more preachers, more churches, more radio programs, more evangelists, more missionaries, more books. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And less gospel, real gospel. Now, wait, I tell you what I want to ask you. I want to ask you something. When do you hear a sermon on the resurrection? When do you hear a sermon on the resurrection? When do you hear it? You know when you hear it, Easter time. You hear a sermon on the resurrection. He said, I don't want to be unfair. Some of you hear it more often, but most church people, and I make no apology for saying most church people hear one sermon a year on the resurrection, and that's Easter. That's Easter. But listen, beloved, listen to me. It's necessary to believe in the blood atonement, or you'll burn in hell. It is just as necessary to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And I'll read it to you in just a moment. Now, Paul said, I preach the gospel, by which also ye are saved. Paul said, you're saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now, in other words, listen to me, beloved. If you don't keep in memory, then you did believe in vain. Your believing was not true believing. Somebody wrote to me the other day and said, Green, what do you mean by a true believer? I mean exactly what Paul has just said. He said, by which ye are saved, the gospel. You're saved by the gospel message if you keep in memory the things that if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, vain believing is empty believing, and empty believing is not true believing, and you hear me well, and I say this emphatically and dogmatically. If you truly believe, you will keep in memory what you've heard. You won't deny. Now, these people, God bless you, that go straight for a while, and then they deny the faith, and they backslide, and they live like the devil, and they deny Jesus, and they go after liberals, and modernists, and free thinkers, and worldly churches. They were never true believers. Never. They believed in vain. Their belief was empty. You know, the demons believe, James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble. So there is a vain believing, and that's empty, and that's not true believing. Now, the same thing here is, in other words, it is like unto 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. It doesn't say whosoever is born of God may overcome or could overcome if they would overcome. That's not what the scripture says. Why don't we read this Bible and let it say what it says and stop adding our little denominational slant to it? The Bible says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, there are no ifs or ands or maybes or think-sos or hope-sos. I'm turning to it. I know somebody's going to want to read it. So I want to be sure that I gave you the right. Yes, it is 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we believe the word truly, we do not believe in vain, we overcome the world. No, maybe, think, hope, do the best you can. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, Paul said, you are saved by hearing the gospel if you keep in memory what you've heard, unless ye believed in vain. Now, if you believed in vain, you can't keep in memory. You can't keep it if you believed in vain, because it's empty. It's not from the heart. It's from the intellectual standpoint. And that's vanity. God Almighty does not deal with brains. God deals with hearts. And don't you forget that. Now, watch it. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul said, I delivered unto you what I received. Now, I want your attention. I've said this on the radio. In fact, 32 years of daily preaching, there's very little that I haven't said. And I say that very humbly. God knows I want to learn and study, and I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And there is more in this Bible that I've never learned than I have learned. But I've said most of these things. I've said them so many times until I'm almost ashamed to repeat them, and yet they need to be repeated. Now, he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now, I say this in love. I say it in love. I preach everything I believe, and so does your preacher. Now, don't ever let a preacher tell you that he believes in so-and-so, but he doesn't preach it. Don't ever let a preacher tell you that he believes in the virgin birth, but he doesn't preach it. He believes in the second coming, but he doesn't preach it. He believes in the spirit-filled life, but he doesn't preach it. He believes in the bodily resurrection, but he doesn't preach it. Oh, if he believed it, he'd preach it. You can't keep a minister from preaching everything he believes. He'll preach it. And Paul said, I preached unto you what I received. And the reason ministers do not preach on the new birth, repentance, and the blood atonement, and the second coming, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus, the reason they don't preach it, they didn't receive it. They believed in vain. You say, preachers, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that there are ministers of the devil. Ministers of the devil. They're transformed as ministers of righteousness, but they are ministers of the devil. Now, that's the Word of God. I didn't have anything to do with putting that in the Bible. It's just a Bible fact that can't be denied. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures, not according to some denomination, not according to some religion, not according to some group, but according to the Word of God. He died according to the Word of God. And I want to say to you, as I said the other day, when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant exactly what he said, and he told the truth. He had completed every iota, every minute detail. He had completed everything in word and deed that God Almighty commanded him to do when he came, when he left the Father's bosom, and he came to this earth and took a body of flesh to destroy sin and the devil in flesh. Hallelujah. He did in the flesh what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh. Romans 8, 1, 2, and 3. Read it. Now, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Peter, then of the 12, Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren. Think of it, 500 at one time, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now that was in Paul's day. Most of the 500 were still alive. After that he was seen of James and all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now listen. The Corinthian church, the believers in Corinth, were saved when Paul preached the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Now let me say this to you today, and I want you to hear me, please. And we're going to take our time from here on out through the rest of John, because this is the salvation book, and we must draw in the net. I said a moment ago, for months I've been preaching day by day, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Now we must draw in the net. May I have your undivided attention, dearly beloved, by the radio? Paul preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus according to the Scriptures. Now listen, his death alone could not have saved us. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's true. He shed his blood. According to the Scriptures, he shed his blood for the remission of sin. That's true. But if the grave had held him, if he had remained in the grave, if he had not come forth from the grave, his death could not have saved us. Beloved, the greatest bombshell that ever exploded in the face of an unbelieving world, the greatest bombshell that ever exploded in the face of a gang of religious leaders, the greatest bombshell that ever exploded in the face of the devil and all the emissaries and demons of hell, was the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the one thing that hell has never explained away and cannot explain away. Now the chief priest gave the officers money, and they said, "You tell that his disciples came while you slept and stole his body." Now that lie will not stand, because in that day, if a guard allowed a prisoner to escape, the guard was put to death. They did not put those guards to death. So that lie is just too thin. It just won't stand. Now hear me well. You, I don't care who you are. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference your religious persuasion. You must believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And if you do not, your faith is vain. Your believing is vain. Your religion is empty, and it will not stand in the judgment hour. We must believe that Jesus died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He made his grave with the wicked. Yes, sir. And he rose again the third day exactly as he said he would. He said to those Pharisees, "I'll give you one sign. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights." He stayed in that tomb, the body did. His body stayed in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights, and he walked out. You'll believe that, or you'll burn in the lake of fire. Your preacher will believe that, or he'll burn in the lake. Your evangelist will believe that, or he'll burn in the lake. Your professor, yes, your theologian will believe that, or he'll burn in the lake. I'll show you later that unless you believe in the bodily resurrection, your faith is vain, your hope is vain, my preaching is vain, everything is vanity apart from his resurrection. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must believe that God raised him from the dead, or begged for water in the lake of fire. Father, honor thy precious, precious, powerful word today, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus according to the Scriptures, and save that soul, Father, that's nearest hell. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. I hope you were blessed by the message today. If so, let me know about it. Send me an email or write me a letter or call the office and tell us what this program meant to you. Now, I do have a few minutes left to share with you our gift offer for this week. We call it Gift Offer C. Now, in this offer, I'm going to send you a book of sermons by Dr. Green, a hardback book, plus a very special message on hell that he preached in our local church, the church that he belonged to, the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And finally, another series of live messages by Dr. Green held in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 4 messages in all in this series. And all of this is available if you can simply ask for Offer C and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $25 or more. Please send more if you can. And if you would like to order several sets of this offer to share with others, you may certainly do so. Just tell me how many sets of Offer C you want, and please send a donation of at least $25 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first the book entitled Three Men, 270 pages long, a hardback book. These sermons are Three Men Who Witnessed and Walked Away from Calvary. Then, Three Deadly Powerful Evils. Also, Three Superhighways That Lead to Hell. And finally, A Farm, A Cow, and A Wife. A very, very interesting sermon, one I really enjoyed. Then we have The Message on Hell, preached by Dr. Green in the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville on December 29th, 1974. Finally, the Chattanooga Sermon Series. Four of the sermons that Dr. Green preached there were recorded, and we were so happy to have that. One of those sermons is the one that's also in the book, Three Men Who Witnessed and Walked Away from Calvary. So to get all of this great material, just ask for offer C and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.